good morning. The first thing that I would like to do is spend a couple of seconds to be being grateful to Villanova University. Right? They don't have to do this. Right? They do it because they believe in the power of connecting people, ideas. They are in the business of ideas. They are in the business of helping people grow and learn. And what many don't know, Villanova is also my sort of alma mater. I have done a program here. It was a certification program that was available a few years ago to become proficient in marketing communications because I have a liberal arts degree from Italy. And it was actual practitioners that would come in and teach us the stuff, and then they would quiz us. Right? So we had to prepare plans, strategies, present a full advertising program to the teacher who was kind of pretending to be the client. And they were tough. It was a tough program, and it was probably the best program that I've ever had that prepared me even better than my jobs, because in the job, you do the job, you don't have time to learn about doing the job often. I think I owe where I am today to Villanova University. So I hold this place in a special corner of my heart. And I do hope that you find opportunity to be in conversations with others. You find the time to highlight the great work that Villanova University is doing. Don't adjust your headsets. I have an accent. I was made in Italy. I came here about 20 years ago. I know I was about almost a baby. So that there's that teaches you to take the objection away. I would say 9.5 years ago, I was in career transition myself. I was working in North Jersey, and my job was going to be eliminated because I was successful. One of the things I specialize in, I help companies grow their brand, grow the equity in their intellectual capital or their product portfolio, and position them to sell. Well, there you go. So when the company sold, my job is eliminated. That was the first time that happened to me, and I realized I have a gift. And so instead of saying, crying, for heaven's sakes, this is the most terrible thing that happened to me. I've been working, commuting 80 miles each way for 3 years on the Jersey Turnpike. If you think New York is hard. And there was no easy pass. There's never an easy pass, by the way. If you want to succeed, you work hard. And now I have no job, and I have no network in Philadelphia because I was working in North Jersey and New York. So I reached out to the PRSA, Public Relations Society of America, IABC, the International Association of Business Communicators, the American Marketing Association. I was a member of all those groups. And what I found was that as we went to networking events, everybody was pretty much very guarded, right? There's only so many jobs. I must have that job. And so, sort of dancing around the issues, but never really connecting, right? And I said, that's not the way that networking should be done. The more you have a mindset of scarcity, the less stuff you find for yourself. And I found that's true in business as it is in love. So Fast Company, I was a fanatic, passionate fan of Fast Company magazine. I reached out to the magazine and I said, hey, I know you guys do this thing that you help people with a listserv, get together in various cities. I wanna lead Philadelphia. I said, go right ahead, fine. And so we started Company of Friends, and we started from 5 people to we had about 500 plus members at the time when we slowed down our main events, and we had a little bit of overlap with career transitions. Bart was one of the people who came to me to network about career opportunities, and because he was so passionate about finding help, he also felt that it was the right time to also give help. And so we supported him, ASCD supported him, and this is how this group was born. So never ever feel that, what could I do? You can do a lot, okay? And we'll go over some of those things today. But what I would like you to remember is that there is this whole infatuation with social media. Marketers, as you know, are in love with shiny objects. Oh my God, this new little thing, we can do a promotion. Forget that, okay? Social media is basically a set of tools that can allow you to be more efficient, productive, effective. But what comes through is you. So if you're a jerk, you're a jerk on steroids online, okay? So never forget that, okay? And there's plenty of those. I know you are not. Okay, by the way, because you're here Saturday morning, you know, spending time with each other, and I'm sure that you're not doing it just because you might need somebody that has a job. I'm sure you get it. So that's the first thing I would like you to remember. The second thing is that you don't need to be everywhere. What you need to figure out is probably you have a marketing plan for your job search. You probably sat down and said, okay, these are the three goals that I have, or the one goal that I have for my next step in my career. And so these are tactics, right? Whatever it is your profession, you know that the first thing you need to have is objectives. And then you figure out, great, what am I trying to accomplish? Then you write a strategy, and then you figure out how you're going to do that. And these are tools. This is the how. This is, you know, kind of getting a little bit in the weeds. Your objectives will allow you to say, how do I know I'm successful? All right? So you have, you know, I want to meet 20 people, or I want to meet 20 people who do X. That's even or because. That's a better goal, right? The more specific, the easier it is for you to get there. Right? Because if you don't know where you're going, you say, oh, I just want to get a job. Whoa! Where? How? You know, the more definition you put into something, the easier it is for you to get there. Because guess what? Right? I'm networking here with Dave, and Dave says, you know, it gives me a very specific story about I'm looking for to do X, because X, Y, Z. And you know what I'm going to remember, Dave? Because he's given me a very specific set of achievable goals that he has. If you call me and say, do you know about any openings? Oh, my God, that's pretty vague. I might not. So I want you to consider that as we go through the social media tools, because it's the same online. The more focused you are, the more you go out with one message many times, this is Marketing 101, the more people will say, she is the person who does X. She is the guy who can do X. So that's my loose definition of expert, right? And then you become the go-to person. In fact, the next goal after that is to become the go-to person who's irreplaceable in doing X. And then, you know, then you're there. So, set of tools. And I can tell you that don't get overwhelmed by the technology. It's really about people. Right? Technology changes all the time. But what comes across is you. So you want to make sure that you clean your own house, that you have your own ideas and values and things in order. So when you present yourself, that's what you project. And the question is, how do you stand out? Right. So I was presenting at Media Bistro a couple of weeks ago in New York, and it was an audience just like this one, except for it was media people looking for jobs. Because, as you know, the media business thought it was in the business of distribution. So they focused on the medium, the print thing, the distribution, And they didn't focus on what their business was about, which was content. And content is very, very important with social media. If they had a huge advantage, right? Because they had journalists, researchers, editors. And yet, what they did, they had a mindset of scarcity. So this is how we see news organizations today. Right? We get our news from our friends, thank you very much, from our portals. Many of us get our news on Twitter. I don't even go on many publication sites because I know that Twitter, I do a search on Twitter, and if there is any discussion, I find links, I find everything there. Right? So how did they miss that? Because they were focused on the wrong things. And they were focused on, you know, kind of scarcity. Mine. And so they missed the whole, you know, everybody else has moved over here now. They don't even need you anymore. So think about job search. And job search, often people say, hey, I just need a job. Give me a job. I'll do what it takes. You go through this very yucky process where you have to get out of your comfort zone, talk to people you probably wouldn't want to talk to, beg sometimes, steal, borrow, to get a job. And then you get into your job, you spend your time being in the job, playing the politics, whatever that is, and you forget all the other things that got you there. Right? Oftentimes, and I know it's not on purpose, but I have people call me all the time, right? I want to network, I never hear back from them. I meet people at networking events. We exchange cards. The next time I hear from them is when they need a job. It's temporary. It's a temporary condition. A career is much broader than just this job. Okay? It's frustrating. You have highs and lows because you let your desire to get the job control what you're going to do. So your behavior becomes slave to, I need this instant gratification. And I understand about paying rent and mortgage and all those kinds of things. I've been poor a lot in my life. But, the worst part is that you feel you have no control over it. You sit there and you go, oh my God, what am I going to do? And you feel very isolated, very insecure. So don't go there. Instead, think about career management, right? And think about it as an ongoing discipline. It's like, think of yourself as an athlete. You're an athlete in your own profession or specialty or whatever it is that lights your fire. And then think, how do I then train for this, right? What kind of activities, what kind of things do I need to think about to always be toned and prepared and on my best game? That's also very important. Mindset of abundance. All of a sudden, everything is possible. You make connections. You share contacts. You learn new skills. Learning new skills is very, very important. I cannot underemphasize that. The reason why I'm here today is because I work like a maniac. Okay, I'm always learning. If I'm not working, I'm working to learn about doing better work. Okay. Now, not everybody has my standards, but if you find those things, those two, three things that you're passionate about, that tie into your career, everything is possible. You can do it. I trust that you can do it. And then always being in active pursuit. But there is ways to do that. So we said social media is a set of tools, right? It's no more, no less. There is no magic. There is actually a very definite, that's Stephen Baker, one of the two bloggers of Business Week. I met him because I did a controversial post on Web 3.0, which is and so to bitch about it, he links to it on his blog at Business Week, which was tremendously gratifying. He's written a book about data and understanding data and understanding statistics. And part of what I do with my blog, for example, I write about stuff that I'm passionate about. But also I'm very disciplined about going in the back and seeing what do people respond to? What gets picked up? What are people kind of passionate about and what did they see me? So I became sort of an expert in content marketing because my community decided that that is one of the things that they can learn the most from me. That was one of the many things that I loved doing. So I moved more into that. So start with the people, mark your objectives, have a strategy, and then pick the technology. So not, I must be on Twitter, I must be on Facebook. First figure out, remember being in control. What is it that I'm trying to accomplish? Because that determines how you show up and what you're going to do. But it's not an overnight thing. My blog is almost 3 years old. And don't fall prey to the I want it all kind of mindset, right? Stay in control. Why blogging? Blogging is very high maintenance, okay? Some people say I'm very high maintenance too. So we manage. So you have to come up with content all the time. You have to figure out how many times do I post. It's long-form writing. If you're not a writer, it will make you very uncomfortable. Unless, probably, because I would guess that everybody's a writer when they're writing about something that they're really passionate about. Right? But that may be at odds with the career you're looking for. Right? So you need to kind of understand, can you live with my passion is my hobby and I'm making my career over here? Or is there opportunity to align the two? But the blog is a place, so people don't look at my resume anymore. They come to my blog because they see what I know, how I think, how I interact with peers, and then it gives you an opportunity to find mentors online. There's lots of people who are much smarter than I am that I look up to, and I had the chance to meet these people. I was Media Visto Circus. I was Tim Ferriss, the author of The 4-Hour Workweek. He's a trip and a half. He was the keynote speaker that day. So I got to hang out with Tim all morning. He knew me from my blog. Right? So we didn't need to start over again and have an introduction. In fact, there was a joke circulating a few months ago, which was two bloggers talking. Did you know, oh, I read on your blog. Oh, yeah, there's no conversation because you're reading each other's stuff. You know what's going on. And then, of course, it gives you the opportunity to build a personal brand. But if you blog, be patient, embrace failure. Some of my best posts, I took 4 hours, 5 hours to research and write. Nobody comments. No feedback for me. But you know what? Don't waste any time feeling sorry about yourself. Learn and move on. Okay, the next one. I write very complicated. I demand a lot of my readers. I'm actually, amazed that there are posts that people actually come in and comment. And the feedback that I received, because I've done surveys, is write simpler, write less. I don't have time. So, listen to your readers as well. But develop a thick skin. I have been attacked personally on my blog because I have ideas, I have opinions. Now, my opinions generally tend to be fairly moderate. I don't go out there and make claims over here to the left, but there's always somebody who's going to take exception to somebody else, because guess what? The more conviction you demonstrate, the more somebody will be afraid of making that type of commitment and attack you for doing it. So, but stay focused. Know what your identity is. You don't need to follow anybody else's agenda. You need to have your own agenda. This is the place you control. So how do you go about getting a blog, if that's what you want to do? Pick a memorable URL. I stumbled into the concept of this conversation agent. In the beginning, I was getting emails from people who were looking for an agent. I was like, I'm not that kind of agent. But thank you, you are giving me ideas. Have an about page, because that's your chance to have your elevator pitch, position yourself in the minds of your visitors. This is what I'm about, right? The exercise you just did. And then do it as if you were writing a little write-up for a newspaper or a magazine. So put all the most important stuff up top and then back it up, right? And then put facts and data, et cetera, you know, a couple of things. And be judicious. Choose wisely. So put the most important stuff up front. Don't start, you know, don't... I'm Italian, so I understand that. It takes us forever to say anything. So get to the point. You're Americans. You have an advantage. Put contact information. There are company websites without contact information today, in 2009. Make it easy for people to find you. Integrate LinkedIn to it, of course. You want to, you know, broadcast that, and then we'll talk about how you optimize that. Use RSS. It means real simple syndication. It's a tool. It's now Google. But you go in, you register your blog. It's a very easy, I promise I can do it. And then you sync it in with your blog, and then you put the button on your site. And so people who want to read your stuff, they click on it and subscribe. Put a search button. I use Legit, but there's Google search buttons out there that are standard that you can integrate with the blogging tool you choose. And then consider a Creative Commons license, which means that people are allowed to quote you and link back to you, because linking is one of the two. Search and linking are the two powerful things that are happening online right now. So LinkedIn, you probably all have a profile on LinkedIn. Who doesn't have a profile on LinkedIn? Okay. So there's a couple of key areas on your LinkedIn profile that you want to pay specific attention to. There is what we call the business card, which is the top information. Your title, your geography, the bucket in which you put yourself in. You know, you have categories within LinkedIn. And then there's a status update. Use the status update as your integrated marketing communications tool. Okay? It's a very soft way of broadcasting to the people who are searching and looking you up. What are you working on? So maybe what you had for dinner wouldn't help you much with your search, unless you were a chef. And then, you know, here's what I cooked for dinner is very appropriate. So, but, you know, I'm learning about X. I'm reading X book. Think also, who do I want to attract and how do I connect with them? What are the things they are passionate about? What are the things that they are reading? Right? If you are looking up a company and you know that that company, you would love to work there, and you're doing a lot of research on that company, start, you know, sort of getting yourself in the conversation with that company. Talk about, you know, the type of things that they market, that they work on. Because we relate to like-minded, like-themed kind of things, right? Think that about that for yourself. Then there is a summary of experience. The top part is the most important. That's another version. Don't use the same version everywhere. Just make sure you tailor it to the tool and to the environment. Right? Your blog is going to be read by oodles of people, hopefully, if you do your job well and participate in other conversations. There's a question.
Yes. Is that the blog you're talking about, or is there something totally different that I'm missing?
A blog is a separate tool. You can use Blogger, which is free. It's a Google tool. You can use WordPress, which you can. You mentioned blog, so I'm saying the experience, the summary of experience. You actually have, or you have up to certain limits, but you can say a lot in there. Don't do the same profile or the same write-up everywhere. That's what I'm saying. So you have a way of writing a resume, which is a little bit more formal, a little bit more tailored. And, of course, you do this. You tailor the resume to the opening You don't send the same resume everywhere. Same thing with these tools. Some of these tools are more conversational, so you're more, you know, kind of conversational in your presentation of yourself. LinkedIn is considered the most professional of the social networks. There's both companies, recruiters. Recruiters use LinkedIn like crazy. And candidates and colleagues are on LinkedIn. So you want to put a sort of more formal face forward. Still, you want to look approachable, etc. But that's what I'm saying. And in the summary of experience, if you have any specific things that you're doing, for example, I list my speaking gigs there. So that people who follow me or who want to learn more, you know, they can look at that list. There is also today the ability to pull in, to stream other tools inside LinkedIn. And so you could stream in your blog into LinkedIn, and it would show your posts there. You could stream in your slides if you have a SlideShare account. SlideShare is a tool that allows you to convert your PowerPoints, put them online, sort of in the cloud, and so you create your own account, and then if you do presentations or if you do, think about it. Even if, why wouldn't you do a presentation about yourself? But, you know, sort of a, as a subject matter expert, think of yourself as a thought leader, even if you don't do presentations in advance, right? You can craft a couple of PowerPoints about topics that you're really knowledgeable about, and then you can post them out there. They have collective ways of voting for best slides or best PowerPoints on SlideShare. It's a way to drive traffic. And again, you go back to integrating. If LinkedIn is your base right now because you're in career transition, then you can syndicate your SlideShare account into LinkedIn. So your friends, your connections, your contacts, the people who are looking you up on LinkedIn will see, oh, there is something new. Because our brains love new. And we always notice new. So, you know, these are like kind of little tips to sort of start integrating online some of the things that you may do anyway. But it's a different way of packaging yourself. Yes?
A question, but obviously a lot of the social media tools are there to help with career transition, but also in itself, it may also be a money-making situation. Do you feel that that attracts from a blog, if the blog focuses also on the affiliate kind of marketing, so that it's a money-making revenue stream as well?
So it depends how you do it. So my choice is to use my blog as a way to get speaking gigs, book deals, and all that kind of stuff, right? Because I love writing. And it helps my readers trust me because they know that is pure passion. There is no conflict of interest. But you can go out with full disclosure. There are pro bloggers. I know Darren Rouse, who's problogger.net, who make money from their blogs, right? They have content marketing products. They have the syndicate ads. They have, you know, Google ads and all sorts of different things that integrate with their blog. The thing is, with that kind of thing, Darren, he started growing that up. In fact, his site that is making most money is a site where he teaches people about digital photography. So he's using problogger.net to get his name out there. He has ads and all that kind of stuff. And then it's the digital photography site where he has all the affiliate deals, etc., which is, you know, is understood. Everybody who wants to be a pro in digital photography, you know, uses it. So he chose to go very narrow in, you know, where he's making money. And he's using problogger.net because there is a very important concept with social media, with networking in general, you know that, social capital. That's the intangible money in the bank. You want to put a lot of nice things that you've done for others in your bank. And my philosophy, for example, with networking, I very rarely withdraw on my behalf. When I make withdrawals in my social capital account, I usually do it on behalf of others. And I never worry where it's going to come back to me, because I am confident that it does. So, recommendations. We were talking about social capital. Every month, I haven't done that recently so diligently, but every month I reach out to a dozen new people. One of the ways that I use to reach out and to give back to my community is to, out of the blue, write them a recommendation on LinkedIn. They haven't asked for it. I just spontaneously, if I feel that we've had enough of a relationship, enough of, you know, dealing with each other, and I feel comfortable that my credibility would be intact, then I just write a recommendation. And they get the message from LinkedIn and they go, huh, wow, right? That's exactly the type of activity that you want to be involved in. There is no quid pro quo. There is no uncomfortable awkwardness. There is just generosity, putting money in your social capital bank account. Also, I know from LinkedIn folks that when they put the questions and answers capabilities in the network, their membership just skyrocketed. Why? Can you tell me why? Because now people had the opportunity to talk about themselves. It's not about LinkedIn. It's about the people in it. So they understand that the most important thing that a platform, that any place can do, is provide people with a container or an environment where they can talk with each other. That's why all the social networks that are most popular, they engage that mechanism. And companies are having a hard time with that. Why? Because they want to control the message. They want to be the center where all the spokes come to, right? They want to be like Philadelphia's public transit system. You know, all the spokes go into downtown and then you can go back out. It doesn't work so well. Because now, if you have the ability to go directly to him, what do you need me for? Unless I add value. Unless I give you a nice space to have an event or a nice space to be online, right? So think about that, because that's a lot of what is successful online is when somebody provides value as a broker or as an intermediary, and really it's about the people who gather around that. So expertise, you can ask questions. Most importantly, you can answer questions, which would be providing thought leadership and capital to others. And then now there is the people who ask the questions have the ability to score the answers and give points to the best answers. And then those folks are featured whenever you look at a topic. You have the best answer folks featured right there. So that's another way of, if you don't have the time to do a blog, but you feel LinkedIn is the tool that you really want to dig into and really utilize, that's a great way. My colleague, who was working with me a year and a half or so ago, found a job at QVC through LinkedIn, just answering questions. She was constantly quoted. She was quoted in the media. She was so smart. And eventually she came across her boss who hired her out of our company because, you know, they felt that she had the expertise they needed. So those are all ways of being visible without saying, look at me, 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 me. Yes?
Yes, I've been on LinkedIn for 6 months, and I've never had anybody approach me. What have I done, or what must you do?
You need to go out and talk to people. I go back to, it's almost like you go to a networking event and you say, hey, nobody was talking to me. Nobody stopped you from talking to others. So, kind of become a little bit more proactive. And research. You can go under the answers and there's topics. Research the topics where you feel you have expertise and start looking at some of the questions. Yes, it's time consuming, but the more you do that, the more you highlight yourself without saying, look at me, look at me. Making it about the community, about the other.
Can you have too many recommendations? I know when someone writes you recommendations.
No.
You have the choice of choosing the one posted or not. So obviously you want to pick the ones that probably higher level positions, vice president, president. just every coworker.
I'll take any recommendation. You want to give me a recommendation? I'll take it.
I don't think it could be too many, just to avoid.
No. My friend Chris Brogan, who blogs at chrisbrogan.com, if you're looking for a good blog to read about, you know, sort of the trust economy and social capital, he has, I think, 24,000 readers. We started blog now, actually started much before me, but he took his fight. He has hundreds of recommendations. It really depends on what you're trying to accomplish. But I'll tell you, if Todd here says, you know, Valeria rocks, thank you. Yeah. It's much more effective than if I come to you and say, I rock. You go, oh, yeah, what a big ego. So anybody, in some cases, when people, here's when I don't accept the recommendation. When people come to me and say, I'll recommend you if you recommend me. And I go, ha, ha, ha. But I really don't know you. I really don't, you know, it's not from a genuine place. It's like exchanging links. Hey, you know, we just put you on our blog roll. Here's our name. Put you on my blog roll. Who are you? You know, that's bad. That's not connected. Okay? But if somebody feels that they want to recommend you from a genuine place, let them not talk about you. Hey, talk about me. I love that topic. And then, you know, of course, making connections. There is a misconception going around. And I have different thresholds for different networks. And I find that most of my contacts online have varying degrees of this contact understanding. On Twitter, you can follow me. It doesn't matter to me, but you don't bother unless you're spamming or you're, you know, into unsavory stuff. Then I block you. But fine. And I'll follow you if you engage with me. So that's my deal on Twitter. On LinkedIn, I must know you to connect with you. That's why I have 8,000 followers on Twitter and 680 connections on LinkedIn. I was on LinkedIn early on. And all of the people that I link to, I've actually met. In fact, I've gotten invites from people I know online through blogs who say, hey, let's link in. And usually I say, I would love to. Next month I'm going to be at X conference, and I see you're attending as well. So let's have coffee. Let's sit down. Let's get to know each other. And we can link in. Because I use LinkedIn to connect people with each other, to forward referrals, and if I don't know you, my credibility is impacted. So I'm very, I endeavor to earn the term trusted and trusting every single day. Because it takes a long time to build trust, it takes a moment to take it away.
So the one thing I was questioning is, in the, like if you join a group, say it's a alumni,
yeah.
You can, I think you have a choice of whether to let people email you or not. I guess they would email you, but that doesn't mean they're linked to you. Right.
So that would, yeah, be, that's okay. Yeah, I mean, and people who invite me to link to them, I respond to their invites. I say, hey, nice to meet you, virtually. How are things going, et cetera? What can I do for you? So I'm not withdrawing from being helpful. I just want to link to you. Unless I really know you. Because then what happens is I get an email. Hey, I saw an opening in this company. You don't do that. Could you send my resume? What am I, your secretary? Right? But also, who are you? Maybe we met once, but I don't really get a sense of who you are. So how do I know you are a fit? And then, you know, of course, finding opportunities to the network. I get that all the time. Hey, you know, can you get me closer to so-and-so through your connections? I feel comfortable doing that because I know my connections. So I can say, hey, Aaron, would you mind, you know, forwarding this to Kate or whatever who's on your network? And Aaron knows me. She says, okay, yeah, no problem, right? So, and then context. You know, all of your connections, all of your profile, all the words you put there, all the stuff, it talks about you. People have learned to read digital body language. So the words that you use, the way you behave when you answer questions. If you answer questions and you say, no, you're really a moron, you know, this is the way, you know, that's going to come across. As I said, you're a jerk on steroids. Twitter. Twitter is the new darling, you know, somehow. And that's the state of despair of traditional media, right? When they talk about Twitter, because Oprah gets in a pound, you know that we're in trouble. You know, we need journalists in a democratic society. So Twitter, I would classify it into two main buckets, right? Getting information and networking. Getting and giving information, right? So from an information standpoint, you can use Twitter to, and of course, if you don't have any followers, you know, the first thing that you need to do is participate. It's like going to a party, you don't know anybody, you start meeting people. So, you know, you listen to others, you start following others, make sure that you're not stalking, that you're truly following, so that you're reading what you're writing about, you're getting to know them. You have ability, every Twitter profile has, and I can show you in a moment, it gives you the ability to write a dozen words in your bio, to link to a website, to a URL. You could use your LinkedIn URL, for example, so people can know more about you. I can tell you that if you don't have a link there, you know, people have a harder time understanding who you are. People want to check you out. So it's almost like dating for professionals. And so your name is much better than, you know, whatever your favorite number and odd word is. So, you know, make sure that you use your name so that people... And then put a photo. The folks who have no photo, the avatar is just the funny, smiley, whatever symbol. Who are you? It's almost like I'm talking to somebody and I don't see them. Same thing with LinkedIn, by the way, if you have a nice photograph of yourself. You know, if you are in a surfing business, then put your surfing photo. Otherwise, if you're looking for a job, put a professional photo in there. And then it allows you to... So you can start networking, meeting people, building relationships with potential contacts. Last night, I wanted to see if somebody from Verizon was on Twitter. So I went and did a search, and there is lots of Verizon wireless accounts. There is a Verizon Media, which I knew, you know, the PR folks very wisely are on Twitter listening. But they weren't hearing me because I really wanted to connect with somebody for Verizon Residential. And finally, I went out to my network and I said, hey, do you guys know anybody from Verizon on Twitter? And they came up with three people. So I contacted them, right? So, but I have a wide enough network, at least 400 followers. You can, you know, build relationships. I built those one at a time. I started following the people that I knew from blogging, some of the people I knew from LinkedIn. So, you know, that's your starting point. If LinkedIn is a place where you are, you can search. Then you have ability to search for people. I have two accounts on LinkedIn, on Twitter. One account is Valeria Maltoni, where I have a write-up that says, I don't tweet here, I tweet at Conversation Age, and yet I have 150 followers on that account. So read. and then you can gain feedback from the community. If you have questions, like you're doing here, you know, you can just make sure that you ask the question in a way that if it was printed anywhere, you would still feel comfortable, because that's public. There was an instance, there was an agency that was pitching FedEx, and they were traveling to Memphis, and one of the agency folks wrote on Twitter, I hate Memphis. What a backwater place. They showed up at the meeting, and they had the printouts there. Would you explain this to me? So make sure that you're not embarrassing yourself. It's public. And then if you have a protected account, why? If you're out there in public, you either do it or you don't. There is no trying. I don't understand that folks who are on Twitter, you know, they follow you and they have a protected account. And you need to gain their permission to follow them. I don't know you, so why would I even go through that? So if you decide to be open, be truly open. And then, you know, you help out others and use social currency to develop your brand. So my expertise is content, so I share a lot of content by others. Very rarely I'll put up a link to one of my posts. So in the morning, I usually from 7 to 8 something, I share 5 to 7 posts written by others, which I have the time to read and review the night before, things that I feel will be helpful to the people who follow me. And then, you know, engage in conversations, connect with peers, and then for information, let others know what you're working on. It's okay to say, hey, you know, I am looking to meet, you know, X people who do X. I'm a developer, and I'm looking for information on X. I'm an HR professional, and I'm looking to connect with other professionals who do X. Right? It's probably not going to be helpful to say, as I said earlier, I'm looking for a job. Right? Always, you know, kind of course, that's your ultimate goal, but what are your objectives? You want to know people who are at Blue Cross, Aramark. They're all on Twitter. All right? Your competitors are on Twitter. Yes?
I had a question again. You know, obviously, you've been stressing so publicly the concept of altruistic egotism, you know, helping others.
Yeah.
To that end, you know, there's the book Me 2.0 where he talks about personal branding statements.
Yeah.
But I really don't see the big difference between a personal branding statement telling, you know, what I do for what, you know, what I do well for what companies or organizations, and how that leverages against that of a personal value proposition, where that in itself truly is where you're helping others. How do you mirror or align, I guess, the personal branding statement with the person with the personal value proposition, I guess?
So, great question. I know Dan. Dan, he works at a competitor of mine at EMC. He's a very young professional. He was a guest blogger in my blog. And I was featured actually in his magazine in May. Me 2.0, and the title, I told him the feedback. Actually, I wrote a post and I said, I'm going to do this. It's not about you. It's about us 2.0, which, you know. But you want to sell books, and people are all about me. So, and in fact, his book is excellent. It gears it more towards Gen Y, but I think it's helpful. So if you want to really do a deep dive on how you specifically use some of these tools and, you know, some of these recommendations, that may be a good book to look up. So I said the night before, I read a lot of content, and then I share it the next day. The content I share is aligned with my beliefs, with my value props. So in all of the things that I do are kind of very large integrated marketing communications campaign that eventually, you know, whatever your question, the answer is Valeria. But it's not Valeria because she's a team player, because she understands these concepts, because she plays nice with others, because she has knowledge in these, you know, if for me to recommend something, I have knowledge in that space or in that field, and I feel it's going to be helpful. And by the way, social media, okay, it's about social, about being social. So when you're networking, oh, it's great. And you know what? The more you hold back, the more there will be a point in the conversation where somebody comes to you and says, can you tell me, you know, would you help me do this? So the point is not to shove what you do down somebody's throat. It's to be elegant. It's to be, you know, to pick the right time. To be, you know, expert salespeople and business development people know that. It's about developing relationships. It's about, you know, kind of understanding what others' point of view is, and finding that place in the conversation where you can be of mutual benefit. But the first piece is, you know, let others get to see you and know you. That's why social media is so valuable. You know, people watch me, right? Interact with others and respond to questions. Sometimes people taunt me with questions. Oh, will you do this? Well, have you considered this? Whoa. Yes.
I did a social networking webinar just the other day. They said it takes 32 hours a month for each female. How do people have time to function and work if they're spending that?
So I have a day job. Right now I'm director of marketing communications at SunGuard Availability Services. In fact, I have 10 day jobs. because I have a very small team. My budgets were reduced twice. My boss left a couple of weeks ago, and I worked a pretty full day, often skip lunch. So I invest my personal time. I'm willing to put the work in. That's why I'm on the top. It depends really what your goals are. And then you figure out, you know, how you want to do it, you know, where you see it. What I can tell you is a lot of people have been in denial about social media. I've been involved around 9.5, 10 years, right? And people back then were saying, well, you have this thing with a listserv and this group, and you're investing all this time in events, and you do it for free, and you're never going to get anything. Not true. Personally, a lot of personal satisfaction. I enjoy giving back to the business community. So, you know, that matches my personal values and gives me energy, because I'm an extrovert, to do other things better. And then I make choices. It's trade-offs, right? So when I'm finished with this event, I go home and I write. I prepare, I research for the week, finding content that is valuable for the blog, because my promise is I post every day but Saturday. You could decide I have time to post twice a week, or I have time to do X things a week. That's why you don't need to do it all. You decide, what are my goals? What are the best tools you cherry pick for me to, you know, kind of start building on this and test? So maybe LinkedIn is your best tool. So you focus there, and you really maximize it. You go into the answers, the questions. You say, I will do one a month. You will be amazed at even one thing, if you focus on that and you do it really well, could really bubble you up to the top. Because you're not trying to do it all. See, there's Uber networkers, Robert Scoble, he's everywhere. Guy Kawasaki, he's everywhere, right? Their personal strategy is to be everywhere. So, yes, they are everywhere. For example, I rarely use Facebook. I reactivated my account reluctantly, and I rarely use it because I'm not about poking and, you know, doing all that kind of stuff, and I'm not about spamming. And, you know, some of these tools are used, you know, by too many as a way to spam your friends, and I don't want to do that. So I use other tools. Some months I focus more on LinkedIn. Some months I focus more on Twitter. Twitter works very well with my blog, so that's why I make the time to do both. But it's kind of, it's a very broad statement. You know, I take 30 hours a week to do the things that I do with social media on top of my day job. And I find the time because I love writing, I love learning, I love researching, and it's a great way for me to network from anywhere. But those 30 hours, for example, I might be traveling and I'm at the airport and I have my iPhone and, you know, I'm tweeting. Not about coming to the airport and I'm waiting for flights. No, about other things. Some people are doing that, but you know, so or you can use by train somewhere, and then on the train, you know, you have your laptop, you have your, you know, analog work, you have your Moleskine or your pad, and you jot down ideas, and then that gives you a leg up. As I said earlier, it's about being athletic, having an athletic mindset about your career, and training constantly. You know that if you do exercise 10 minutes a day, in the long run, you get greater benefits than if you binge exercise. You know, you have a weekend where you go kayaking and hiking, and, you know, at the end of the weekend, you're a tool. And then, you know, for weeks, you don't do anything else. So, you know, kind of you figure out, what am I about? What am I trying to accomplish? And then how do I know I succeeded? What are my personal goals? And then you just do it. Oftentimes, and I find myself doing that, we procrastinate. We say, you know, I'm going to do that later. I have too many other things to do. My house is not the cleanest, by the way. You know, so there are things that you give up. I have a very small house. There you go. So, you know, it's constantly... The myth that you can have balance in life is bunk. Okay? Mm-hmm. There is no balance. You decide what your balance is, what your tolerance is, and you say, I can live with this. Right? You know, think about, I get calls every day now from headhunters, from recruiters, from companies that are looking for somebody that has my set of skills. Why are they calling me?
Because I'm not there. It's not just the people who know you, it's what you know and who knows about you today. They don't have to know you directly. So I hear you, because it's a sacrifice, right? So what are the kind of things that you do? Participate. You were saying earlier, nobody is coming to my profile. Nobody's pulled it up. And there's a couple of things that you can do. For example, in the bottom of your LinkedIn profile, you have the room to talk about, to insert words. Do you understand the search engine optimization? So what are the key words that somebody would find you for that you associate with your level of expertise? Put them at the bottom of your profile when it says others.
I have another question.
Yeah.
I still don't understand Twitter. How do you get on it?
So twitter.com. You can go on twitter.com and just watch the public stream on the web. There's a lot of different tools that you can use to, be sophisticated about it. But I use the web mostly. I'm boring. I'm not technologically advanced. You watch it. It's almost like instant messaging, but it's collective. So you have a whole bunch of people. You have no idea who they are. And you have all of their messages. I just went swimming, ran 6 miles. Here is a post on, personal branding. Here's, Dan tweets a lot. Dan Shabel. Here's the, whatever. And it's all these messages, all collectively. Once you open an account, you go in, put your name, you put your profile, and you open your account. Then you need to start following people to see messages. And then you see only the messages of the people you follow. So I follow 1,200 people, 1,300 people, I forgot. I see only their messages. And the reason why I follow so slowly, because I really like to get to know people. So, if you want me to follow you, engage me. Let's, respond to my tweets, kind of say hi. Don't just, there was somebody last week from Australia, he sent me this message. I follow you, why don't you follow me? Excuse me? take a number. So, and I'm sure he didn't mean that. He probably figured. Then I checked out his stream, and he had sent that same message to 50 people. That's not the way to get people to follow you back. Say something interesting. Interest me. That's not that difficult. Because, if you want to know more, so you figure out what is your, what are your thresholds, and there are bloggers who are starting to do that now. They're writing e-books, and they have, products. Some of them are free, because it helps them market themselves. And again, very genuine, honestly, right? You go out there and you say, this is free, this is for you, this will help you, and you package with value, not with the, personally, I don't like those, learn more, those sites that are so salesy. I don't respond to that, but that's just me. So I shouldn't measure what people respond to on the basis of what I, as a marketer, I like to do research and know what others are thinking. Because not everybody's like me. I'm made of Teflon, by the way. You either engage me or you're not marketing to me. I'm very different from everybody else. My, customers are not the same way. And then they have products that they charge for. So my friend writes a blog called The Art of Nonconformity. If you're a rebel at heart, you want to check his blog out, you will love it. I love it.
I fell in love when I saw it was a manifesto for world domination. It was a free ebook. I was like, wow, you know, I like this. I want to change the world. So I downloaded it, and actually I learned a lot of different things and a lot of different techniques. He travels a lot, and through traveling, because he doesn't have a steady income, he's an entrepreneur, he's learned shortcuts, ways to get deals from airlines and things. So he has products on his site, alongside his free stuff, that he sells for like $35, I think. Think about it. So you download, you buy to PayPal this product to learn to save money to travel. The first time you save $100. So you win, he wins. And now he has a product on his site where he's making money, even when he's traveling and not writing that day. But the first thing he did was he built a community, a small army, he calls it, of fans who responded to his message. He connected with them. In fact, I'm told that I have the same characteristic. People either love you or hate you. In the middle, everybody else is in the middle. So the point that I'm trying to make is find that niche. Find that place where people say, you're the go-to person for X. He's the go-to person for nonconformity, world domination, in my mind. Okay? So world domination, what means is that you travel, right? So all of his stuff lines up behind his core value prop. Right? And some things he does for free, which market, you know, they are sort of his brochure, although he's sharing value. And some things he sells. And you want to guess what his return rate was from the first product? 3 to 4% among the readers. You know what the return is for direct marketing campaign? A successful direct marketing campaign? 1%. So, because you're in direct marketing campaign, if you have a good list, you're still interrupting people in the moment when they don't want to be interrupted. Why do I care about sunglasses now? I know it's my birthday, but you do this every year. Do something else. Okay? But he has the blog, right? You go to him, first of all, so it's your choice. And then he says, hey, it's up here. Come and get it. If you want to travel, save money. Here's the product, and people download it. Because he's established a relationship, he's built a community, people trust that he's not gonna... You know why people don't click on stuff? Fear. I'm gonna be taken advantage of, I'm gonna make a bad investment, my friends are gonna laugh at me. He's built a community, so out there in the open, very publicly, he has a lot of people who support his message and, you know, have similar ideas. We are heard. We're social animals, folks. We do things because other people do things. That's why these social networks and media are so valuable. So the point is, you know, when you start doing business development, right, I have a lot of consultant friends who have blogs. And the use of blog is to kind of let people see what they're capable of. But, you know, it's kind of, some people have the philosophy, I give it all away. But you know what? Seth Godin has done that. You package it in a book, and all of a sudden, Gagra and Saki as well. You have a souvenir. And people will buy the book anyway. When Seth Godin gave away Unleashing the Idea Virus, it was downloaded millions of times, he still sells the book. But people are afraid of that because they think, oh my God, I'm going to give it away. Companies are especially afraid of that. So, you know, you kind of make a business plan for yourself and say, hey, what do I need to grow a community of X people? How am I going to make money? And, you know, what kind of things will I do for that? Is it going to be products that I'm going to have that people download and pay for at my site? Is it going to be consulting gigs that, you know, people will call me for, et cetera? And then, you know, that's a role, so you backtrack from that, and maybe all you need is 100 passionate people who love your work. Don't think huge numbers. Think, what do I need to succeed? And maybe for your business plan, it could be 50 people, but, you know, they're willing to pay you X. And you develop a deep relationship with them. Everybody else
that's great, you know, come on over. So, you know, it's kind of understanding, you know, a little bit, what is it, you know, what's your timeline, how much are you willing to invest into it, and, you know, it's all the people that I saw succeed are people that have a lot of clarity around exactly what they're going to do about it. So, you know, kind of my friend Chris at the Art of Nonconformity, he posts two very long posts. And that's why the advice sometimes, you know, some people say, your blog post should be 500 words to 750. His blog posts are 1,500 words. And people read it every single word because they're committed to because they're stories, because they're engaging. So find your way and then figure out, you know, how does it scale and what do I need, you know, what do I need from, you know, building this community? Why am I doing this? So be very clear about why you're doing that. Create content, give value, appreciate. I cannot underemphasize participation. You go to a networking event and you say, you know what, Sean was awesome. I really loved talking to Sean, and you realize that the whole time you were talking about yourself, all Sean was doing was listening. And, you know, the same thing is online, right? The ratio, you know, we have 2 ears and 1 mouth. And share stuff. And you can do that strategically. What you don't want to do is what companies are doing. They're coming online and they're saying, look at me, here's my press release. Who cares? I was ignoring you over here. Why do I want to pay attention here? You know, copy content. No. There's a lot of people's great content. I send them cease and desist. Okay? And there are laws online, actually. You can send that to the search engines and you can send that to WordPress. And they won't take the site down. So not a good thing. Being negative, if you are really, really upset, don't go online, because you're going to sound bitchy. Or if you're drinking, you're going to sound tipsy. you know, don't automate conversations. In some of these tools, you have the ability to have an automated message be sent out when people follow you. People feel very uneasy about that. There is no easy way. The easiest way, actually, is to be yourself and do the work. And you could tweet on 5 times a day, but make those 5 times worth everybody else's time. And people will notice you. And broadcast, being disrespectful, you don't want to do that. Blogs were born with technologists, so there's a lot of what they call trolls. People who made a lifetime of being anonymous, because it's very easy from behind your screen to think that nobody really... First of all, I can find your IP address, okay? It's bad karma. It's bad karma. But, you know, sometimes there are people who don't have a sense of long-term or, you know, feel that they want to... Don't go there. So also, companies are online, right? So I'm writing a full-fledged social media recommendation program for our marketing communications for my company. We're members of the Blog Council, which is actually changing name this month. I don't think they've announced it yet, but it's a council of Fortune 500 companies that are involved with social media. So I've met peers from Coca-Cola, from Intel, from Cisco, from Dell to Walmart to UPS, etc. So these companies are online. And that's how they're finding talent these days. Their HR people are on Twitter. Right? Their HR people are on LinkedIn. And that's what they are using through their connections to find candidates. They have, you know, secret keywords. They have very sophisticated ways. And some of them are as nasty, by the way. So the hiring, this was the hiring process, right? You send your resume. God knows what happens to it. There is absolutely no control. You try to follow up. You can't find anybody, or somebody you met at a networking event. Didn't they work? You search them on LinkedIn and then you send them an email out of the blue. It's very inefficient, and it won't set you apart. The best candidates today already have a job, by the way.
And you can look and sound like you already had a job by making it your job to become very proficient at X and using these tools and leveraging these tools to do that. You don't have to decide to have a career in consulting to become a very accomplished consultant for yourself, your self-image, your self-esteem, you know, unleashing your passion, going deeper. If I had, you know, it's and that's what I've done. I've been laid off, by the way, 3 times in 5 years. 2 were exit strategies. I took companies to their sale, and 1 was a startup that went bust. So I know what it feels like to be laid off. Even when you know it's coming, you hate every moment of it because your self-esteem goes to, you know, upside down, and you feel like, you know, this whole thing is happening to you. That's why I'm saying, you know, turn it around. Be in control. So I'm never off the job, off work, rather. You know, I may or may not have a job, but, you know, people know me as conversation agent now. It doesn't matter whether I'm director or VP or whatever in a company, for me to feel like I'm a valuable member of society. And that's, you know, and that's how people see me. Oftentimes I will do speaking gigs as conversation agent. And, you know, fine. And I'm talking as an expert in marketing communications. There's no issue. So you can look and sound like you have a job. And so the blog and social media are really opportunities for companies to see a candidate at work. You know, how you think, what you know, how you problem solve, how you're looking at issues, which is all the thick stuff and the soft stuff that will make you either succeed or fail at a job. And by the way, companies are being looked at in the same way now by consumers. And consumers are not consumers anymore. We've all become customers. We want personal stuff, personal treatment. We want custom attention. Even when we are not buying from you, we are interviewing you to sell to us as a company. So that's how things, you know, have turned around. So that's a great, that's great news for you. If you have a small business, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're thinking about consulting, online and digital media can make you look as professional, as effective, as much of a presence as a large organization. In fact, large organizations today have become very good at what used to work, are having a really hard time getting into what's next. So, and then companies have also the ability to see how candidates relate and interact. For example, my friend Amber Naslund, Amber Kadabra on Twitter, she was hired by Radian 6, which is a new media measurement company. She used to have her own consulting practice because they liked her. They met her on Twitter. They started interacting. She had the right voice. They hired her as their community manager. It's less automated, but it's more effective. And then social media also gives a recruiter ample examples of what talent knows and, you know, how they connect. So my friend Harry Joyner, who's the e-commerce, I think his site is marketingheadhunter.com. He was one of the first people actually I met online. He was the first one who put me on his blog girl. You never forget the thing. And he recruits for e-commerce jobs. So over the years, I've sent his way a very selected few candidates who were excellent in marketing and e-commerce, and I connected them with Harry. He's online. He's using LinkedIn. You wouldn't believe it. He has a pro account. He does all these searches. In fact, he's the one who told me about these search words. To put at the bottom of your email. So, you know, it's kind of get to know these people and hang out and say, hey, how do you find candidates? Idea. So they use keyword searches. Using social media allows them to find those people who have jobs and who are really, you know, successful and steal them away from companies. They call them passively active candidates. They have vast networks and connections. I cannot tell you how many recruiters and headhunters found me on LinkedIn, because they go and find, usually they search for conversation, which is very fortunate because I'm a conversation agent. And then they Google a candidate's digital reputation. Did you Google your name? If you have a very common name and the other aliases are up to no good, that's a problem for your reputation. So you might consider finding an alias where you can be unique. If you Google my name, I'm the only person in the world, so I better behave. So I Google myself all the time to find out if anybody has any grievances or issues or, kind of things that I need to clean up from a digital reputation standpoint. Mainly, as you know, when you're buying something, especially today, you go to Todd, you go to Dave, you don't go, sometimes you go online, but you're reading Todd's and Dave's comments to a book or whatever, because to you, they're just, somebody else just like you. You don't believe the marketing message as much anymore. We really, marketers have trained us to ignore them. It's the same thing online. A headhunter will Google your name and see what people are saying about you. So that's why, answering questions on LinkedIn, if you feel that's your type of expertise, Twitter has very high search rankings on Google. So a little bit of search engine optimization on your reputation. So the point is that, especially in a tough economy, if you can find a niche and own that niche and be the go-to person, and by the way, your niche could be to be the best X in Wayne, okay? You don't have to think the world. You need to be very specific, as I said. It's if you know what your geography is, if you know what your level of expertise and interest is, you can really make it very, very specific and win in that space. And then the other point is that it's about people, and people are messy. They will not do what you want them to do sometimes. So, it's kind of, and just like life, you get out of it what you put into it. So if you don't have the time to do something, don't half do it. Find out what you have the time to do, where you're willing to put your energy and effort, and do that really well. And don't feel that you have to do it all to succeed. There are some people who don't do any of this, and they're very popular and famous. But what the whole Ashton Kutcher and CNN debacle on Twitter demonstrated to us is that an individual, advice a celebrity, okay, huge celebrity, can have as much of an audience as a media network. Now that, folks, is pretty powerful. So the potential, the upside. But again, it doesn't matter. If your audience is 100 people and you win those 100 people, you're home. You're golden. So I talked a little bit about tools. I thought I was going online, but I feel that it would be probably a little bit overwhelming because, I sort of take some of this stuff for granted, and I would actually prefer you to ask me questions that are specific to your needs rather than, me being a talking head up here. So I would love to open up the floor to questions. And, don't feel that if you don't know any of this, your question is not going to be smart. Because you're smart, you're an accomplished professional. I value your questions. And I may not even know the answer there. Yes?
Well, a common thing is, of course, I've been doing this recently, so I've been on a push to start getting identification and other things, but I'm sure other people will find out if they haven't. When you Google yourself or other things, you're going to find some. My name, Todd DeLuca, there's surprisingly quite a few out there. And a lot of the names and other things are taken, so I'm going off of other things that are more for my specialty because But what's your advice to say? So ToddsLuka.com is taken. Most of the accounts on, you know, Gmail and a lot of others are taken. So what would you, you know, that's usually
so yes. So if you haven't done that and you plan to have social media presence, go find out if your name is taken. And then, you know, figure out a plan B. So what I have done is I've booked ValeriaMartoni.com because I wouldn't want anybody else to buy that because I knew I would be famous. confidence. I've done that in a couple of places. I said Twitter as well. Now, some networks will allow you to stake a claim if you have a valid, you know, claim. So if somebody's squatting on your name and they actually are not called that way, you may be able to get your name back. Facebook is one of those networks. And by the way, this weekend, they're giving you vanity URLs. So, you know, if you have X followers, there's conditions, so I'm sure I won't apply. The other point that I want to make is, at some point, it doesn't matter so much. So you may use your name with the middle initial, or you might do, you know, DeLuca something. You know, you might find that, you know, you can still become famous and known, you know, using your name by using a version of your name. Like, for example, I saw that V. Maltoni was taken, and I was like, okay. My family is not that big, and there's not many of us. So I wondered, you know, I'm actually intrigued. I would like to meet V. Maltoni. You know, go and book those URLs. Buying a URL, GoDaddy.com or some, it doesn't take much money. And, you know, there's actually parents today that are buying their kids' name URL, you know, just how things are changing. And online, eventually, you will go to an open ID system where your ID is transferable through different domains. So, you know, it's kind of, things are just moving so fast. So by most networks, I'm conversation agent. I'm using my blog as my base because that is well known, and then I'm used consistently conversation agent on all the different. I can show you. I have a number of
buttons here on the side that symbolize social networks. Frankie, Dig, Twitter, Delicious, Flickr, Technorati, etc., SlideShare, and I'm usually a conversation agent.
I was on Twitter, it cut me off because it gives you so many characters. I didn't know that, so I went in. Conversation agent? And so, age. So I'm conversation agent on Twitter. Because, you know, I picked a long word. I'm Italian, so I'm the longest. So I'm conversation age actually on Dig and on Twitter and on StumbleUpon. I'm conversation age, which was pretty dumb of me. I should have stopped at age. But it gets to a point where it doesn't matter. But, you know, consistency, of course, like Robert Scoble, is Scobalizer everywhere. So you could make up a word. Right, he made up a word, Scobalizer. It almost sounds like synthesizer or something. You know, it's like with branding. You know, so figure out if you plan to be a consultant. You know, investing in your name is certainly the best return on your investment. But it's not the only. I was thinking long term. I was thinking, okay, I started blog, I started company, and that's the other thing. If you feel that name, you know, then. You know, incorporate it or whatever, do something with it if you feel that you're going to have a consulting business at some point down the road. And then you'll get spammed by, you know, the business folks. Yes?
Are there consultants in the industry who will sort of help you set it up in a turnkey bed? Because when you look at people who aren't technologically savvy and you spend a lot of time on the internet, you have Facebook, you have Twitter, you have all of these.
Yeah.
Are there people you can go to that will...
A ton of them. But I warn you, a lot of people now. It's like when email marketing became popular. Everybody was doing email marketing. Everybody's a social media expert today. But there's things actually that you can read. There are blogs that you can read. where you can teach yourself. And also Life Hacker, the Web Worker Daily, the Blog Herald. These are all blogs that, you know, kind of help bloggers. Problogger.net, Darren Rouse, he teaches people about blogging. Copyblogger.com. And actually, if you go on my, I have a button here on my blog where I have the blog roll, which is a list of sites that I read, and I actually split it by category. So there is a category there on new media. And so there's a lot of folks that I learn from. New media, there's online publications there. And then what happens is you start with one, you like, and then you follow the links. They link to, and then all of a sudden you have 100 feeds in your reader, and you think, how am I going to possibly read it all? Because you were easing with your eyes. But, you know, generally people who have quality content tend to link to other quality content. So you, if you find a place where you feel you're getting good advice and, you know, things, because there is a lot of advice, but what is applicable to you? So, you know, you respond to that content, it's at your level. And I know ProBlogger and CopyBlogger write simply enough for a beginner to, at any point, drop in and say, hey, I'm learning from this. And that's why they're so popular, by the way. ChrisBrogan.com. So you start from there, and they link to other good resources, so you can, you know, you can keep going, and then, you know, find your place. There was a question.
If you have a blog and it's popular, you can duplicate it on more than one blog site. That makes sense or not?
Can you ask that another way?
If you're doing a running blog,
yeah,
whatever topic,
yeah,
does it make sense to duplicate it, to do it on multiple blog sites, or to each one?
Okay, so I write a lot of original content because I'm a glutton for work. So I rewrite the same things. But there is one site called Social Media Today that syndicates my posts. So whenever I post a conversation agent, they have an editor there. Where is it? They have an editor there that will pick my posts that they like. Okay, so these are the other blogs where I post. Fast Company, I write original content. Blog Herald, I used to write there, but there's a lot of good content that I wrote at Blog Herald that they still have on their archives that you can link, you can follow that link. And I used to teach bloggers how to brand and market themselves at the Blog Herald. And then Marketing Profs is for marketing professionals. Marketing 2.0 has a community. I haven't blogged there in a while, but they have site problems. But it has a community of marketers, about 2,400 people. And Social Media Today syndicates my posts. So whenever I hit publish, they get a message in their system, and the editor will decide if they feel that the content is valuable for their community, and they repost it, basically. But I've given them permission to do that. There are people sometimes, ill-advised people, who copy and paste, right? Because online it's easy to do. And I have decided, because somebody was trying to steal my brand, believe it or not, to copyright my material. So my material is copyrighted. And all you do is put copyright if you feel. I actually recommend Creative Commons license, because then people need to give you attribution. I have a harder time, you know, kind of policing my content. And if the point is for your content to spread, give it away. People will use it.
Creative Commons, I think it's Creative Commons something, Google. I was just interested because this is the first I've heard of that kind of a license.
It's a license, in fact, on Flickr. There is a big brouhaha on Flickr because there's a lot of photographers with amazing photography, right? Talented. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. who, you know, the standard setting on Flickr is copyrighted, all rights reserved. And they will post their stuff online and not think about it. And I cannot use it unless I have their permission. And oftentimes, you know, they would get tremendous traffic and credit if people actually use their photography with attribution. Creative Commons means I will use it for non-commercial gain. Okay, so I don't make money from my blog. So, for example, I just posted this week, there's this photographer, this Italian photographer that was just awesome. And so I just posted this week, and that's another way to network and help others, right? This is a video on YouTube that is amazing.
That was fun.
You must go and see it. This is a photograph. I don't know what he thinks about me putting the phrase on it, but an Italian photographer, he has these amazing photographs, and one day I came on his stream, and cool. So I opened, you know, PowerPoint, and I pasted all the links, etc., to his photographs. And every time I post one of his photographs, I provide credit at the bottom of the post with a link. I know I'll drag long. With a link to his role. So I'm actually providing a lot of publicity for him. I discovered a musician. He commented, he's from Italy. He lives in L.A., and he saw a post that I did. We are from the same area in Italy, so he resonated with him. He sent me an email. It's like, oh, wow. So anyway, we talked a little bit, and I said, well, he's actually a sound designer. You know when you go to the movies and you see trailers? When you see games, etc. He does the music for that. So he's awesome. And he does music with, like, sand, with different things, and it's this environmental music is awesome. So I did an interview with him on my blog. That day, he opened up an account, he found a way to sell his music, because I don't know how many people from my post went to his site and asked him, can I buy your music? Just like that. So, I mean, he's got talent, he always has a site, he has a great job, but I did an interview for him, so, you know, that's the other thing, he could, you know, be really good at something and have a static site, but then, you know, he proactively networked with me, sent me a note, and said, you know what, instead of saying, hey, I do music, can you, you know, da-da-da, it was, you did that post about fog, I had an accident once in the fog. Wow, it connected with me immediately because we are from the same area. And all of a sudden, he had an interview which was reposted somewhere else, and I don't know how many hits on his site, and now he sells his music.
Well, I hate to interrupt, but we're running out of time.
I go long all the time. So I thank you for your patience and for your time. Hopefully this was useful. If I suck, let me know.